Yo, what's up?
You're listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast.
And this is 2020.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Keeping It Raw. This is Raw, and today's show is going to be a little bit different, all right? Today's show is going to be about dementia, and the reason I'm talking about that today is because I wanted to be able to honor my grandfather, but also share his story, and it's impossible to do that without mentioning what I consider to be the elephant in the room, which is his struggle with dementia, and so that's what I want to talk about today. If you want some insight into it, you can stick around. Mostly this is about my grandfather, but I want to enlighten you a little bit into what dementia is. So this is neuroscientist Dr. Jim Morrison.
Dementia is what you express behaviorally. You're demented. And when a person is demented, they have a very, very severe loss of cognitive abilities and memory capacity. They might not remember things from minute to minute. They may well remember distant past, but they can't lay down new memories. They will get to the point where they don't recognize family members. They will essentially feel perpetually lost. They have a lot of difficulty navigating the world. And of course, they can't really plan in a goal-directed way.
My grandfather is a Mexican-American born in El Paso, Texas. He grew up only speaking Spanish in the household, one of 11 children, and he didn't learn English until he started going to school. When he learned it, he picked it up pretty quick. He loved it. The other day, he told me that he remembered growing up, and they lived way far out in the country, about 35 miles away from the nearest city, and he said he remembered that when their car would mess up, his dad would have to go get a new car. But the only way he could do it was by walking 35 miles to the nearest city. And he said that he remembered the anticipation of his dad coming home and all the kids in the house, all a ruckus, you know, running inside and outside the house, just waiting for dad to come home with that new car. And according to him, that happened several times. A couple years ago, my family recognized the first time anybody noticed anything was wrong. They had just come home from the state fair. They went and gotten something to eat. And as they pulled into the driveway, Grandpa asked, "When are we going to go get something to eat?" And they noticed that he had just blacked out the last 30 minutes that they had just spent. My aunts and uncle, you know, call him Pop and said, "Pop, we just ate." And that was really the first instance I think the family recognized that there was something wrong. And it progressed pretty quickly after that. You know, we went to Disney World a little over a year ago. And, you know, it was pretty bad at that time when we went. And this is probably a year or so after the state fair trip. And I'm talking to him just trying to see what he can recall, just to kind of see what he remembers or if he's in the moment or try to go from there. So he had said everything. He had said everything right. I would ask him about his growing up, just trying to recall any kind of memory that he could. And he didn't skip a beat at all. You know, there were some stories like when Grandpa was younger, he had gotten in fights with the law. Yeah, that he had even kneed a cop where the sun don't shine. And I asked him about that, and he said, "Nah, I never did that." And I first thought that, well, there's a memory he lost, but he was pretty steadfast on that. He said that he did get in trouble, but he never done that. And he recalled so many things in such vivid detail, names, instances, people, places, that it was so strong that I felt like, you know, his memory was fine. And I told my grandma, I said, "You know, he recalls everything, you know." And she said, "No, with dementia, you can recall everything, but it's what happened yesterday that you don't remember. See, the stuff that happened in the past, that's always there. He's going to remember that. but the stuff that happened yesterday, he has no memory of. Now, like many people, my grandparents were there a lot. They were there my whole life, always. They were always the house that you could go to if you wanted to go. Their doors were always open. And, you know, my grandpa spent a lot of time. He taught me how to fish. He taught me how to mow a yard. I remember to this day his instructions on mowing the yard, the push mower. He said, see that line there that you just mowed? Overlap that line when you do the next row. That way you don't have to do the same line twice.
In Lewy body dementia, the early symptoms are typically cognitive ones, like difficulty focusing, poor memory, visual hallucinations, disorganized speech, and depression, similar to Alzheimer's disease. Later symptoms are typically motor ones, like resting tremors, stiff and slow movements, and reduced facial expressions, similar to Parkinson's disease. Finally, some people have sleep disorders, like sleepwalking or talking.
Now, memory loss and hallucinations are one thing. But the caretakers are primarily relatives. My aunts, uncle, and my dad, they do what they can to take care of them, make sure they, you know, my grandparents have what they need. And they do a really good job of being great examples of how children should take care of their parents in later years. And they're really the unsung heroes in all of this, because they go out of their way to make sure things are taken care of. And they sacrifice their time, and all for free, out of love. My grandfather asked my aunt, is Trump paying you enough? And she says, no, I do this all voluntary. And he says, well, I'm sure you're getting reimbursed by the government somehow. She's like, nope. He's fired my uncle a couple times. He has always had a pet name for my grandma. He always called her Juana, which is a term of endearment. And so as his caretaker, you know, my grandfather has felt like the house that he's in now, which is his home, that it's a replica of his real house. Like, even down to the detail. And, you know, logical mind would think, you know, do you think they got every detail exactly perfect? No, this is your house. It's your real house. And then my grandmother, he thinks, he confuses her with his caretaker sometimes. So while she is his permanent caretaker, he sees her in two different aspects. He calls her Jenny sometimes when he recognizes it's a lady working for him, and Juana, which is a term of endearment that he's always called my grandma. So when he recognizes her as the love of his life, he calls her Juana. But when it's a person just taking care of him, it's like a separation, and he calls her Jenny. One time, I was probably 20 years old, 21 years old. I had this car. It was a Pontiac Grand Am. And I was paying for it, you know, and the time came where it just broke down. We were going to the beach, and it just broke down. So we hauled it back to the house. I was living with Grandma and Grandpa, and it sat there for 5 or 6 months. And at that point, I got tired of making the payments on a car I wasn't driving. So I was like, Grandpa, can you help me load this car up on a trailer so I can like get rid of it? I want to trade it in or something. And we drove to one place about 30 miles away, and then drove to another dealership about 45 minutes away. And basically they were saying, you know, the car doesn't run. It's not worth anything. So I was like, let's just drive it back to the dealership because I'm done with this thing. I drive back to the dealership and they decide, hey, why don't we contact your lender and see if they'll pay for the repairs, you know, and just finance that. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And it worked out fine. And man, we got back to the house and I was like, Grandpa, thank you so much. Like, you spent your whole day, like, helping me drive this stupid car around. And, like, you could have been doing anything, right? You know, thank you so much. I was, like, so thankful that he had done that. Because, like, there was no way I would have done that. There was no way I could have got that done. And he just says, you don't have to thank me. Just stay in church and love God. And those were his exact words. Stay in church and love God. And I was like, you know, to a man that like has done nothing but help me his whole life, like, has done nothing but be there. You know, he doesn't offer many words, but the fact that he was able to just, like, encourage me and just be supportive just by being there was, it's just amazing. I went to go see him today, and he looked at me and said, what's your name? And that was the first time that I think he legit didn't recognize me. It was the first time that I realized it anyway. Because usually when I see him, I'll greet him. And I've always called him Gramps. Hey, Gramps. And in my mind, when he didn't recognize me, it was because I didn't call him Gramps. So he didn't know. It didn't, like, trigger anything in his mind, you know, to recall a memory with me, you know. That's just what I'm thinking in my head anyway. So I'm just like, hey, you know, Gramps. But anyway, he didn't recognize me. He said, who are you supposed to be? And I said, my name's Raul. And he was like, well, that's a good name to have. And I was like, yeah, I was named after a cool guy, which of course was him. I was named after him. And I think that helped him trigger who I was. And maybe it didn't, but eventually he figured it out, and we were back to normal. And I had been doing this thing recently where I have been kind of recording some of the things that he talks about whenever I'm with him. And so I'm going to play you a clip, and this clip is one where there is a lot going on in the background. The family is watching Remember the Titans, good movie, and I'm having a conversation with Grandpa. So you're going to hear a lot of that in the background, and it's going to be a little difficult hearing Grandpa in this one. Now, basically what he's saying is I'm asking him about some memories from when I was a kid. We'd go to his house, and then on Sunday mornings, he would drive the church bus, and he would have us crawl in the emergency exit and then unlock the front door for him, and he would get in. And I'm basically asking him how he got to do that job, and his detail is so specific. He recalls exactly what motivated him to do it, what was the trigger for him. And so I'm going to play the clip real quick so that you can hear that as well. And like I said, it is going to be a little difficult making out what he's saying because he's kind of slurring in some of this.
Did you volunteer to do that job? Yeah.
Sir, I ate lunch with Brad.
I was riding the bus one day. And then
Yeah,
he used to drive it then. And I was wondering if they had help or anything. And then I seen this flyer up there over his head, taped over the sunlighter. And then it said, if you don't, then who will? I got me driving that bus pretty quick.
That was a sign, huh?
So what kind of music does...
Yeah, it was a sign. And, yeah, realizing, you know, the church needed some help, he saw that sign and was motivated. If you don't, who will? He would tell me stories about when him and Grandma first got married and, you know, for fun and because they were hungry, they'd get with a group of other people and, they'd go out hunting. And so they would ride on top of a car and, the two guys would be on the hood of the car and or on the fender, and they would drive along and shoot animals to kill and eat. I was like, what? Totally different time. He's like, that's, if you didn't do that, we didn't eat. This is him talking about that.
Me and your grandma and George Alpha and his wife. They were all getting ready to shoot birds or whatever they could find. And it was already dark. It got dark real quick out there. Anyway, we were riding on the fender of the car. And then we changed to the top of the car. how he ended up on the ground again. George Alpha started running. It didn't take him long to pass out the car. Anyway, that's about it.
This is a clip of Grandpa misunderstanding who I am. Here we go.
Well, I was your brother, huh? He would be your brother.
Huh?
He would be your brother if it was Louis.
No, I don't know who Louis is. That's your cousin. It's not my cousin. Or not my brother.
I wonder why I mistook him for you.
I don't know.
He said, I wonder why I mistook him for you. So that happens a lot with Grandpa. But Grandpa's good. Most of the time he's in good spirits. But often, you know, he's up so much that it is, you know, hard for Grandma and Uncle Randy and my Aunt Nancy, you know. And so, yeah, they sacrifice a lot, but they do it with love, like complete love. It's amazing to see the kind of response and the availability that is there, what they don't consider a sacrifice when they're helping somebody that they love so much. So, you know, Grandpa, he's funny because he had, we were watching a press conference over the coronavirus, and Grandpa said, "Hey, did you see that Nancy Pelosi?" I said, "No, I didn't see her." Yeah, he said, "Yeah, she fell." And I was like, "She fell?" And he was like, "Yeah, she was walking out and she stumbled down the steps and she kept falling and falling." And I was like, "Really? Like, they just play that on TV?" And he was like, "Yeah, she just kept falling, falling." And I said, "Nobody helped her?" And he said, No, that one guy, what's the name of that rich guy?" And I said, "Trump?" He said, "Yeah, Trump." He said, "I'm out of here." And he took off around the corner. I was just like, "Really?" Man, he told us this this crazy story today. And so the story I'm about to tell you passed the limit of the statute of limitations, so it's okay. But the story I'm about to tell you is very new information for me. You know, and because he had originally forgotten who I was today, I asked him later on, you know, about the time I was about to leave, I asked him, "Yeah, do you," I said, "who is your first grandson?" And that was me. So, I knew the answer, and I knew that he would recall because it was a question that he could revert to his past and, you know, remember. So I said, "Who is your first grandson?" And he said, thought about it for a second, and he said, "Well, I guess that'd be Little Raw." And I was like, "That's me." And he was like, "You know, and there's this one woman who's, you know, going to say she was having my child and going to name it, you know, my last name, and it wasn't." And I was thinking, what in the world? What's he talking about now? Like, is he saying that woman and talking about my grandma? You know, what is this? So my Aunt Nancy, she's like, "Well," he's like, "he's probably talking about before he met grandma." And I was like, "What? Why would he be talking about that?" So this is the story that he tells us, and I'm sure this was new information to my aunt who is there, but it blew me out of the water. So he says, there was this woman that was having a child and was trying to say it was my child. And I was only 16 at the time. And so she took me to court and they called the first witness for me to testify for me. And as soon as that first witness was done, the judge threw out the whole case. And I'm like, "What?" And he says, "Yeah, and then she tried to say it was my younger brother, and I was 16, and my brother was 14, my brother Art, and tried to say it was him, and she kept trying to go down the line until she ran out of people." And I was like, "What? Wait, what is this information? What are you telling me? This is crazy, right? This is crazy." And And so I don't take any offense to that word that I'm saying when I say crazy, okay? When in relation to dementia. But this is my thought. Like, this is, we're just laughing, right? And so, you know, I ask him, I was like, did you even know the lady? And he goes, well, let me put it this way. Everybody knew this lady. And we both just start busting out laughing. Like, I'm getting so lightheaded from laughing so much. Like, I'm walking around the room just like busting out laughing. And he was like, you guys thought that was funny, huh? You guys got a kick out of that, huh? If we're just like, yeah, I was like, you learn something new every day. I did not expect to learn that about Grandpa's past. Now, there isn't a definitive answer on what causes dementia. Is it a lifestyle, you know, food habit? Is it genetic? Is it just a random spontaneous occurrence in your brain that turns off, you know, the neurons and just causes a reaction that over time, you know, just shrinks the brain for no reason at all? You know, and a lot of people say, well, it's the amount of processed foods you have that contribute towards it. Well, yeah, I guess that's a possibility. And eating vegan is certainly been proven to help offset or even prevent a lot of diseases. And I was asking my grandpa about sodas, and he was telling me that he would drink a pack of sodas a day, a 12 pack of sodas every day at work. And he drove trucks for a living, you know, his whole life. That was what he did. And he said that he would put a 12 pack in a cooler in between the seats of his truck. And I said, how many were left after the end of the day? And he said, one, but mostly zero. And he said that people would see him. He said one guy saw him put a 12 pack in there one day and said, oh my goodness. One of the things my grandpa always said was, or grandpa always says, is híjole. Whenever he's mad or whenever he's like baffled by something, híjole. Very Mexican American thing to do. I remember after every meal, you're stuffed because, of course, at grandma's house, you're eating the whole time. And after every meal, no matter how full you were, grandma said, hey, do you guys want ice cream? And grandpa always says, there's always room for ice cream. Grandma and grandpa always had an RV. They'd always take us on trips, always go camping. Boulder Flats, well, that's the only park I really remember that we would go camping at in Northern California. But it was great. I mean, they'd take us camping and it was the whole experience, the whole thing. And then they'd get campers and then we would go around the country. He traveled all the time. They would make trips, and when they retired, they would make trips all the time. They'd go, they'd be gone for months, just, you know, living life. And what a great life he's lived. What a great time. And the time is the biggest factor. Memories are the most valuable asset, most valuable thing that you can offer to somebody else, your time. And yeah, Grandpa is like that. He's always been like that. Even though he's been a man of few words, he's always had time. Several years ago, Grandpa was diagnosed with lung cancer. And it was scary because, you know, his dad had lung cancer. You know, Grandpa, though, he used to smoke, but it had been over 30 years since he had smoked, you know. And for him to get lung cancer was just, like, baffling. And, yeah, he got it, and they did surgery, and he came through. It was fine and overcame it, you know, and man, it was scary. And after that, his health just continued to fall. His health continues to, you know, be a struggle for him. Work his body, his mind working against him. my cousin Angelina, she created an art project. And the art piece itself was a skull inside of a skull. And it was really a piece of art in the form of preserving dignity. It was a symbolization of him being trapped inside of the shell of who he was and of who he used to be, of this life he used to have. And it's really a sobering visualization of what it's like for him and what it's like for, I guess, those around him, you know, those that love him. Grandpa is in the mid to late stage of dementia. Dementia isn't found to be hereditary, but there are many things that cause you to, I guess, self-examine when it comes to something like this happening in your family. You know, somebody like my grandfather who's diabetic, who had lung cancer and now has, you know, Lewy body dementia, it's certainly something that causes everybody else in the family to be like, wow, you know, like grandpa took all of it. I mean, he took like the biggest hit for the whole family, you know, and I mean, it's a scary thought, but it's certainly something that I guess creates a pause for you. So, but anyway, I just wanted to take some time and honor my grandfather, because if there were more men like him in the world, more men that, you know, took care of their families, that were just really just there, the backbone, the support, you know, that everybody needed, made sure the trains run on time. This last clip that I'm going to play for you is kind of like an everyday occurrence. So I wanted to just play for you what it's like, and for him and his caretakers. But this is me and my aunt and him, and he's laying in bed, but we're trying to get him up. And so, you like the other clips, you might not be able to make out what he's saying, but I'll try to explain it along the way.
Your hair's still looking good.
I gave it a special touch this morning.
Special touch.
Really? Got that tan?
At this point, I ask him if he was using jam, because when we were younger, when I was younger, he would always have this, I think it was like for slick hair, for like black people's hair, but he would use a product called jam, J-A-M. And I started using it because it looked good in his hair, so I would use it as a kid. Anyway, so that's my reference to jam here that you're listening to.
You used to put jam in your hair. Do you remember that? No? It was a long time ago, probably.
Before you got too bad.
Sorry. I might grow.
You want your phone?
Stay here all day.
Yeah, so I'm asking him now if he wants his phone, which he rarely uses anymore, but he was looking at it on the nightstand. So I said, do you want your phone? And this is his response, which is funny because he never uses his phone now.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case.
An important message. I already texted. Yes, I already texted you.
You guess what?
I already texted you.
Okay, come on, let's get up. Ready? Mm-hmm. Grab onto that pole.
Randy in there?
No, Randy's still asleep.
Randy! Hey! Awesome.
And that's the end of that. Now, it's I just, again, wanted to share some insight on what it's like for the family and, you know, obviously for Grandpa. And, you know, the family has, in my opinion, done really well with helping, overwhelmingly well. But, and I feel like I've conveyed that, but it's important, you know, for a family to pull together. And naturally, most families will. There are some that, you know, don't or can't. And, you know, I'm certainly understanding that. But the family, you know, is certainly well aware that we're somewhat approaching the end of Grandpa's life. Okay. And honestly, that's what's happening. And so arrangements, you know, get made and, you know, to sacrifice your time. Or in my case, I just go visit every other weekend or once a month or so. And, but spending time with him is great. I always learn something new every time. And it's hard to drive a conversation. It's hard to always ask questions. And, you know, one question that's been on my mind to ask him that I have not is regarding what he can understand and comprehend about his situation. How does he feel? How does it make him feel? You know, those kind of things are always on my mind, but I never ask because I don't want to trigger something that's unpleasant for him. So I don't ask, how does it feel when, you know, grandma tells you what you're seeing isn't really there? You know, the image or the person or the object that you're having a conversation with doesn't exist. You're just having a one-sided conversation. And those kind of things do happen. But, you know, it's a question I can't bring myself to ask. Anyways, I love Gramps. And, you know, if you're going through something similar, you probably have stories like it. Or maybe you guys deal with it in a different way. I certainly don't wish, you know, that on anybody for the mind of their loved one to slowly diminish in front of them. But we have to recognize it for what it is and love the person despite, you know, the circumstance or despite the burden sometimes that it feels like. So, but just a bit of encouragement and insight for you guys. Love you, Gramps, and love my family that, you know, has certainly been sacrificing to make sure that his life is a little easier and Grandma's life is a little easier. Love you. This has been Keeping It Raw. You guys have a good day.
Yo, what's up?
You're listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast.